and welcome to that Eurovision podcast, Eurovision with a slice of life. My name is Rory, and I'm doing pretty well this week. I am so stoked because, I mean, as a team, we have all officially gotten Eurovision accreditation. We got our press passes, so thank you so much for listening and doing everything like that. We're so thankful.
You clearly haven't listened to any episodes of this podcast.
Look, I'd like to think that maybe perhaps we might have listened just a little bit, but I'm not sure. But otherwise, I'm having a really good time. I am just ready to get into this because this is something that we've never done before. So I'm really looking forward to getting into this. So yeah, joining me,
Jazzy. And I would agree, I'm really excited to get into this. And this has been a long time in the making. So finally excited to bring this episode to you.
And hi, it's Rosie. Much the same as Jazz. I'm so hyped about everything that's going on right now. I could be lying in a hospital bed and somebody could just be feeding me Eurovision through an IV drip right now. And I'd be feeling I've not had this much serotonin in so long. Just also, I've just spilt white spirit all over my bathroom. So if I'm getting progressively high throughout this podcast, that's what's happening.
just for disclaimers, TES does not approve and condone the use of illegal white spirits for decoration, okay?
It's perfectly legal. I literally just bought it in Mexico 3 hours ago. And now it's all over my floor.
Oh, God. I'm not looking forward to seeing the mess that's going to have made. Ridiculous. Anyway, so it is time. We've been alluding to this for a long time. You would have seen it on our website a few weeks ago, and you guys have all been helping to sort of choose it. And do you know what? It's time. I think it's time that we all sort of get on our glad rags and everything, because it is time for us to go into our national final awards ceremony. I'd like to let everyone know, from if you're listening on the podcast, that I have gotten all dressed up in my glad rags. So you have all better be going in your gowns and suits and everything like that. You decide what you want to wear, it's fine. But yes, this time we have completely changed what we were doing beforehand. We gave the options over to you. You guys could make the decisions about who would win certain categories. And we have had hardly any kind of influence in any of this. We've literally only been here to help tiebreakers. So we might as well get things going, really. So to kick us off, I guess the best thing to do is to go through each of these categories by country, so by national final. So the first national final that we're going to be talking about is Melodifestivalen. Now, Melodifestivalen, I think, was one of the most interesting selections that we had this year. And, you know, there was 28, was it 28 or was it 32?
28.
I don't watch Melodifestivalen, don't blame me.
Melodifestivalen was the most interesting selection we had this year, but I didn't watch it.
I don't care about Sweden. I think we kind of knew that, but you know. But yes, so we had 28 songs to pick from in this selection, and who would have seen that this was so much quality that was going on? And, you know, we had memes, we had heart, we had laughs, we cried and everything like that. But I must say, out of all the 28 nominations, we have a winner. And that winner is... Behöver inte det dig. I can't properly pronounce Swedish for shit, but, you know, is it Clara Hemmingström? I want to say that's right.
Klingenström.
Look, I'm apologies. But yes, I mean, what do we make of that? Is that a good choice?
It's a little bit left field, but it's definitely a good choice. I feel Like, it wasn't a song that was, like, an immediate hit with the fandom. It's a song that's kind of grew and grew. And I do think that Melfast has songs like that every single year. And I'm really glad that fans picked something that was actually in Swedish, because I would love to see Sweden send a song in their national language again in the future. And I feel like Clara's song may have been a stepping stone into that. And maybe we'll see it sometime in the future.
I feel like Clara was sort of the big surprise of Melfest this year. Like, she came in as a complete unknown. And from what we know about Melfest generally, it does tend to be quite dominated by the same names year after year after year. So this was something that just came as a huge shock to people. And honestly, completely deservedly. Like, the song is beautiful, and it's another one where the more I listen to it, the more I love it. It wasn't my favorite in Melodifestivalen. My favorite, and probably what I would have voted for, would probably have been Arvingana, because I'm trash and I love my dads. But that song just gives me so much happiness. But honestly, I think Clara's a fantastic choice. And I really, really want to see her come back next year or in a few years with something equally as powerful and emotional and authentic, because that's what was so refreshing about what she brought to Melfest this year.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Melodifestivalen, but I knew that this was a bit of a fan favourite. And, you know, I think the fact that there were so many songs that were in Swedish in Melodifestivalen this year shows that they're willing themselves to actually go with the trend, I guess, of actually incorporating, like, a little kind of national heritage kind of thing. I loved the fact that they used something in Swedish, but although my heart will forever ache for Eva and Eva, Renorama Ding Dong was robbed, guys. You know, I'm just saying, y'all made poor choices. Anyway, we'll quickly move on to the next award. This isn't any Oscars bullshit. We're not going to cut to a break or anything like that or have a performance halfway through. We are going straight into the next one. And the next one is going to be dealing with the best Melody Grand Prix entry from Norway. So again, Melody Grand Prix stretched out for 55 weeks, or however long it was. And in the end, we obviously managed to get Tix as our final winner. But of course, there were so many other big songs that were in there. And given the fact that there was like 4 songs in each one, plus an extra qualifier, I think there was about 30 songs on offer. So again, spoiled for choice you guys were. This time round, out of all of the nominations, I think there was a fairly clear winner in this. But the winner is Kano Monument. It is Kano Monument. Obviously, I mean, it came second in the national final, and honestly, didn't expect anything else. I think it was going to be this or nothing. So yeah, I am very happy to see it actually come in. What do you guys think?
Am I Kano trash? I am Kano trash. I am certified Kano trash. And honestly, this is a song that I just have not stopped absolutely loving ever since I first heard it. And I was sat that first night it came out, waiting for that YouTube premiere, chatting with them in the live chat. I told Alexandra that I was going to do some finger stretches to get my voting fingers ready for Melody Grand Prix. And she liked it and sent me heart emojis. So basically, Senpai noticed me. But anyway, yeah, this song, I just cannot express how much I love this. And I think the only saving grace that it didn't make it to ESC this year is that it would have just made Semi 1 even harder than it already currently is, because I'm already preparing for a lot of heartbreak on Tuesday night.
I'm definitely not surprised that this was the winner for Melody Grand Prix. Like Ruth said, I absolutely adored this song. I was a little bit softer on Tix's song than my fellow podcast members, so I wasn't as upset when it lost, but I do think it would have made semi-final one a whole lot harder and would have caused a whole lot more heartbreak than I think Tix is going to cause, because I'm not sure about his chances of getting to the final. So there is that. It not winning has probably gained somebody else their final place. Happy with this as a winner. My personal choice would have been Via Norge by Ollie Hart, just because he's adorable and the song's adorable. And I love it so much, and I'm still so sad it didn't even get to the past the MGP semi. But alas, here we are.
It's okay. I feel the same way about Anna Finn. Anna Finn should have qualified it, but y'all decided to sleep on her, so what can I say? Anyway, we will quickly move on to our next award, and that is going to be coming to us from Finland. Now, Finland, obviously, Uuden musiikin kilpailu was one of the sort of most unexpected national finals in terms of quality, because we had so many songs that were either amazing or completely like, not say shat on, but overlooked, I think is to say. And that's coming from a Laura stan, okay? Yeah. But yes, so there were 7 songs to choose from, and you guys voted, and it actually came to a tie break, but we decided to break the tie break by thinking who could be the best person to scream at you from a car as you're driving past. The basically the winner of that is Kelle Mä Soitan. Yes, so Kelle Mä Soitan was the one to win Uuden musiikin kilpailu for us this year. I'm not necessarily that surprised. I think, you know, it was a very respectable entry, and kind of sad to see that she didn't do as well actually on the night, but you know, the song itself is incredibly ornate, and I think it's a really good choice. Well done.
UMK was a great national final this year, and honestly, I don't think there was a bad song in it. There were a few songs that maybe weren't, but I don't think any of them were bad by any stretch of the imagination. Honestly, I thought more people would probably go for the Teflon Brothers and Pandora, because that song did have a lot of hype behind it. But Ilta was my winner of UMK this year, so I am delighted to see her be as popular with the wonderful That Eurovision site and That Eurovision podcast audience as she is with me.
Ilta was my third place in UMK, but that doesn't really say much when she still probably would have been in my top 5 for Eurovision overall. I love this song. It's such a beautiful, just a good ballad, and she sang it so well on the night in UMK. And she looked stunning, I have to say. I am personally, when people talk about Teflon Brothers and Pandora, I'm personally glad this didn't win the national final, didn't win the award, because it's just not for me. Which will probably be quite a surprise to people, because I tend to usually like songs that are a little bit trashy, but yeah, this just really wasn't for me, and I just found it a little bit annoying and repetitive. So I'm really sorry to all the Teflon Brother stands out there. But yeah, perfectly happy with Ilta as a winner.
Yeah, I mean, my heart will always be with Laura, but you know, that performance really was a little bit of a car crash, but at least Finland took a chance on her. You never know. But yes, so we will sort of round out our Scandinavian national final selections by now moving on to our next award, and that is for the best DMGP entry. Now, there was 8? I want to say 8. Am I right in saying there was 8?
I think there was 8. I watched the MPG, I'm not even sure.
I think
this
says
a lot about how much anyone paid any attention to DMGP this
year. Yeah. Well, DMGP, anyway, there was a number of songs competing. And, you know, you guys, again, had the choice to decide which one was the best one there. And I'm pretty certain this won by a landslide. But the greatest or the best DMGP entry this year is... Stoli Hair by Emma Nicolene. Again, am I surprised at this one? Not at all. It is time, basically. I don't know. I love the fact that they kept it in Danish. You know, they've still gone with Uwe Ospoeshinen. I can't pronounce it at all. But I am not at all surprised this won the best DMGP one, because this song was by far and away the best song to go for in DMGP. And I think they missed out on a trick by actually sending her. So that's your loss, Denmark, I guess. Never mind.
This is probably my favourite song out of DMGP, but honestly, given that I still think it probably would have struggled in the actual contest, that really doesn't see a huge amount. I definitely think it's the most interesting, it's the most well-performed, but honestly, none of those songs stand out to me. And to be honest, I still can't even tell you how Uwe Ospoeshinen goes, and I listen to that. Because usually when I'm doing like housework or DIY, as I'm doing a lot of at the moment, I usually just stick this year's playlist on and just listen to everything go through. And every time I hear it, I have to take a moment and just think, wait a second, what song actually is this? And that's the only song I have to do that with. So honestly, I think it was just I don't even think any of the songs in there were bad. I just think they were so average and immemorable. And Sturlige Herr is probably the only one out of all of those that I really felt even the vaguest bit of affection towards out of all of them.
I haven't really listened to the Danish songs again since I watched DMP Dance Melody Grand Prix. I'm not even going to try and abbreviate that because I completely forgot the abbreviation. So, and this song was good, but it didn't really stick for me. And none of the songs in this year's Dance Melody really stuck with me. And I think whatever they sent, they were going to struggle to qualify with. I have got used to Flair and Flamme's song now, and I think it's okay. I still will stick by what I said when we did the reviews of it, and that it is a Walmart version of, they are a Walmart version of Arvingarna. But there you go. And I would rather have Arvingarna at Eurovision than that Alas again, not to be.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Denmark makes its own choices for who they want to send to Eurovision, and if that is Fyr Flamme, so be it, you know? But hey, at least they're getting to close the semi-final, I guess, so I guess there's something out of that.
I mean, they must be planning something for their staging to get that honour, like...
True.
Yeah.
They actually acknowledge each other on stage this time.
I mean, I've been writing the article about them today, so it's like having to copy and paste their song title about 50 times and having to watch DMG. I am done with this song.
Denmark, no. Please. Oh, God.
No more Fear and Flamme. My life has progressed past the point of Fear and Flamme.
Fuck Fear and Flamme. All my homies hate Fear and Flamme.
Anyway, done anything wrong.
Anyway, we will quickly move on to the next set of national finals that we need to be talking about. And the next one is the best Destino Eurovision song. And Destino Eurovision, if you couldn't have told by my fantastically spoken Spanish accent, is coming to us from Spain. Now, okay, there's only two songs in this national selection, so, you know, you weren't really spoiled for choice here, but you voted in your drones, and I can now reveal that the winner of Destino Eurovision is... Voy a quedarme. Yes, okay. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, the song was pretty good. I mean, the staging was very good for Voy a quedarme. The song itself is a little bit, but, you know, we move. You know, we know that Blas is a fantastic performer, so I'm sure he's gonna do amazingly with this song in Rotterdam for Spain. But who knows? I'm not holding out much hope.
While I liked both of Blas's entries for Destino Eurovision, sorry, that accent came out really French. While I liked both of his entries, I possibly had a slight preference for Memoria. I think it just had a little bit more of an instant impact for me, whereas I think Voy a quedarme is a little bit more of a grower, it's a little bit slower. It's definitely more emotional, and I think Blas performs it very, very well. But I think there are sort of, in Eurovision this year, I think there are sort of slow, emotional, personal songs that I have a stronger preference for. Whereas I think Memoria was in this really interesting space between something that was quite upbeat, but also not like a club banger. Like, it wasn't an Embers or an Omega or The Ride. It was very much its own sort of thing. And I think it was a little bit more different and a little bit more unique. Still, I like both of them. And you've only got two to choose between. So I don't blame you for picking this one.
I personally do prefer this song to Memoria. I think it's beautiful, and I think Blas sings it very well. I really hope at Eurovision that juries will give him credit for his vocals. And this also has amazing stage and potential at Eurovision. But we know that Spain have a bit of a habit of not getting the stage 100% right all the time. And I really hope they don't mess this up, because I do think he can get a decent-ish result for Spain in comparison to recent years, if everything is put together correctly. So there's that. Memoria for me was a nice enough song, but it didn't stand out at all to me. I don't know how well it would have done in Eurovision, because although it was nice, I don't think nice is enough to do well this year, especially with it being such a strong year.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones, you know, like there was only two songs that were available, and you know what, Blas gave his best shot for both of them. I preferred Memoria, but you know, we have to make do with Voy a quedarme. Yeah, I mean, no doubt he's going to have a fantastic stage show. You know, Spain usually does pull it out the bag a bit, so yeah, so we might as well move on to the next one. And we're not going to go too far from Spain for this one, so we're going to go to their neighbour. Not France, we're getting to them later, but we are going to go to Portugal for the best Festival de Canção entry for this year. Again, 20 entries. It seemed like a lot at the time, but I mean, once you actually listen to them, they actually kind of went by fairly quickly. But yeah, so the next sort of one, the next winner of Festival de Canção, or who you guys think should have won Festival de Canção, is one that personally I did not see coming. So the winner is Joana Alegre with Joana Del Mar. So I am kind of surprised by this. I think this song itself is like very nice to listen to. It's very pleasant, but it's not really something that I would personally listen to myself. It seems very lo-fi. But I will say her sort of performance, her visual performance was really, really strong in Festival de Canção. So I can see why people really did appreciate this. But yeah, I mean, Dachik, till death do us part. But you know what? Festival de Canção is consistently giving us quality anyway. So honestly, I think the fact that this won alongside the Black Mamba, you know what? I'm not too angry about it.
I feel like I must have sent some good vibes out to people when we were doing this award ceremony, because I'm so shocked that this won, but also this is, I'm not sure I'd say it's one of my most underrated songs of the season, because I think there are a couple of other songs that I think are even more underrated, and I have seen this song get a little bit of love from people, but I'm still really surprised it got enough love to be our winner. I love this song. I think it is absolutely beautiful. I love the lyrics. I love the story it tells. Her voice is amazing. It's sort of, it's quite simple, but it's really effective at being that sort of mythical folklore sort of story that it's trying to tell. And I really love this. As well as this, there were a lot of songs in Festival de Cantal that I really liked. Saudade, probably a fairly common one. Port and Treath was beautiful. There were some really, really, Girasol, I know Rory's another big fan of that one. And yeah, there were some great songs this year, but this I didn't see coming. I really didn't see so many people taking to this the same way that I did. And I'm really glad people have done. I just think it's wonderful.
I agree with Rosie in that this was a bit of a surprise to me when it won. It was really nicely done at Festival de Cantal, and I have seen a bit of love for it on Twitter, but I never thought it'd be enough to like win over like big fan favorites like Poem Detroit or Dancing in the Stars or Sodade. I personally would have gone for Dancing in the Stars, but that's simply because that's the type of music that I quite like, and it would have been my Eurovision winner had it won Festival de Cantal. So there is that. But yeah, happy enough for this to be our winner, because we all love a surprise, don't we?
We all do love a surprise, but I'm just not entirely sure, depending on what the surprise is. No, I think, you know, overall Festival de Cantal was such a strong year. I think it was one of those years that it kind of was a bit of a grower. So it's good to see that a song that nobody saw coming ended up winning. So, it's nice. So let us move on to the next national final. We are going to be talking about C'est vous qui décidez, France. There were 12 songs, as far as I can remember, all the way back in January. God, it feels like an age ago since then. But yes, so we are going to be revealing to you. And I'm not going to lie, this one I did see a little bit coming, but we will just have to see what you guys think. So the winner is... Voila. Okay. I'm not surprised that this won. I mean, it was by far and away the most interesting performance in that national selection. I think it was a really strong performance. And of course, like, her voice was amazing. The song itself is so personal. And I just love the fact that, you know, France is sending something that is so different. And something that's so stereotypically French, but so also quintessentially French. I just love it. And I'm really excited to see what they're going to be doing with their performance staging and everything like that. Maybe France can win, hopefully.
I think I spoke at length in the previous episode where we talked about the Big Five and the host entry, just how much I love this song. I am entirely unsurprised it won, because on the night of C'est vous qui décidez, there was something just magical about this, and every time I've heard it since, every time I've seen her perform it since, there was the Spanish pre-party a couple of days ago before we're recording this, and she performed it then, and there's something just utterly enchanting about this song, and I am so unsurprised that this has won. I know there are people out there who really don't like it. I know there are people out there who find it really quite grating. And I think you're all wrong, basically. No, I can understand why this isn't necessarily some people's thing. But for me, I just find it so, so beautiful. It wasn't necessarily my winner going in, going into Sifuki Deside. My winner probably beforehand, and now probably my second place, and also one of my most underrated songs of the season, is Maeva by Amui. And I just love, one of the things I loved about Sifuki Deside was just how much really cool, like, French diaspora there was in that national selection. It wasn't just sort of mainland France. We had French Polynesia. We had, oh God, where were Andrea Mad from?
I want to say Algeria, but I don't think that's right. But I know Casanova was from Corsica.
Yes. So yeah, there was so much diaspora in there, and I thought that was really cool to have in that as a national final, but ultimately the most French of French won, and honestly, I'm okay with that.
I think my opinions on Voila have changed a bit. I used to be one of those people that was talking that absolutely hated this. But then I saw it live, and Barbara is just such an amazing performer. It's still not as high in my top as it is for other people, but it's not like it's my dead last anymore either. I think this will do very well at Eurovision, so, and I would love to go to Paris next year, so that'd be nice. So I wouldn't mind France winning, especially as it's one of those songs that I do see as a Eurovision winner. So I wouldn't be disappointed if it did win Eurovision overall. As for my personal winner in France, I probably just have to go with Tutti, with Casanova with Tutti. I just thought that was such a fun, upbeat song. But in hindsight, this Voila will probably do better than Tutti ever would have done. So I think in hindsight, France made the right choice in who they sent.
Yeah, France, I mean, Tutti was also my winner in Sifuki Deside, and I will say that last note that he gave was a choice, you know? no, I think, you know, France should be proud of sending Voila, and I think, I highly think that France could be one of the dark horses to win. Whether they will or not, I mean, you'll have to vote, you'll have to wait and see what the results are like, but I'm expecting big things, for sure. Anyway, going from one type of class to another type of class, the next sort of award that we are going to be awarding is going to be the Best Festivali di Sanremo entry. And I mean, there were 26 songs, but it felt as if there was 55 or something. It was horrific. The saga of Sanremo is just too much, right? But, you know, everyone seems to love Sanremo, so, you know, we had to prepare. And, you know, you guys have all voted and you guys have made your decision. And again, this won by a landslide. So, yeah, this winner that we are talking about is... Ma sono fuori di testa, ma diverso da loro. Siete Buoni, Maneskin. Again, are we surprised? I think this song was easily one of the most interesting performances that we ever have seen in Sanremo. And I like the style that they're giving, but it did give me a little bit, it did take me a lot of time to kind of actually get used to it. But I think it has a lot of good ideas, and I think it'll do really, really well. I think, I don't see why people wouldn't vote for this when it comes to Rotterdam, but in amongst everything that's been going on with, you know, in Italy and the music scene, they're easily one of the most, like, influential musicians at the moment in Italy, so I'm not surprised at all that this has won. Good choice, I guess, although my favorite in Sanremo was Gaia, but yet again, completely underrated, so rip.
Another one that I am entirely unsurprised about. This song is, again, we've sort of gone on about this in the previous episode of this podcast, and I have said many times just how much I love this. It wasn't even my winner of Sanremo. My winner was Amare by La Rappresentante de Lista. which I have been listening to today, and I still love it. I still adore it. Oh my God, Sanremo was so good. Yes, okay, I know I am this podcast's resident Italy stan, but just the sheer quality of music that we got over those 5 nights of Sanremo was just really incredible. Amel Natta was stunning. Max Gazza is another one of my most underrated songs of this entire Eurovision season. I think that song is fantastic. I think it's really clever lyrically. Willy Peyote with My Dear and My. Colapesque di Martino with Musica Leggerissima. Who else am I listening to a lot? Madame with Voce. Just so many incredible songs. Lewis is going to hate me if I don't give a shout out to Parlami by Phasma, because that's his favourite song of the entire national final season. Also, Madame, please release Prison Colin and Shina Chusol on Spotify or just as a single entirely, because I need your Sanremo cover in my life and I can't get it on YouTube anymore. So please do that. But honestly, just all of Sanremo, I just love all of this, and I can't believe it's taken me so long to watch it properly, and I can't wait for next year.
I think Zizi and Bonnie winning the award is no surprise. I think it's such a fan favourite among the Sanremo entries and also among the Eurovision entries this year. I can definitely see it's a potential Eurovision winner. So I think the way this is going is we can see a big five country actually taking the win this year at Eurovision. The ones that have national finals have done pretty well. I would say my favourite song for Italy this year was Cheyenne Mami Per Nomi by Francesca Michelin and Fedez, but it's just because that type of ballady rap song is kind of really for me. I really enjoy that type of music, so that was my personal winner, but more than happy for this to go to Eurovision and do well at Eurovision, because Zitti e Buoni is something that's totally different to anything that Italy have ever sent before. I don't think they've really ever delved into the rock scene before. Maybe a little bit with Emma in 2014, but I don't think we really speak of that song. So
yeah, it's not really, I mean, she was all right, but like, choices.
I think in 2014 we just had stronger rock entries, like Soft Engine, for example. I know Jazzy will be very happy with me giving some love to Soft Engine. Also, from my perspective, Polapunk.
It's good choices.
Rock entry. Yeah.
I think that person that Italy's song was bad in 2014. I just thought the vocals choices were made.
Yeah, definitely wasn't a bad song. I just think we had stronger songs of somewhat similar genres that year.
Yeah, it was a fairly just a strong year overall, to be honest. But yeah. Anyway, we are starting to run over a little bit, so we are going to do these next few awards just in a little kind of bunch, I guess. And these aren't necessarily national final songs. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back to them. And we are going to go on and we are going to do some kind of nice breakup kind of things. And the first one of these is going to be our most missed national final. And the most missed national final this year, we had so many because so many artists were internally selected from last year. So, it might have felt like this year was incredibly chaotic in terms of the national final season, but wait till next year, my God. But the one national final that that you guys have missed more than anything else is Vidbir from Ukraine. And honestly, I totally understand that. I mean, it's usually one of my favorite national finals to watch because you just never know what you're going to get. Yes, it overruns dramatically, but I mean, that's just what it is. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to just seeing Vidbir make a return and hopefully getting a few familiar faces back again. Do we have any sort of final thoughts before we move on to the next?
This is no surprise. I think Vinvir is one of the highlights for the fans up there with Sanremo and Melfest, and I'm not surprised it's been sorely missed.
Entirely unsurprised. And I think I've said before on this podcast, like, this has sort of been my first national final season of really following stuff. So I'm just excited to follow it all next year.
Trust me, you guys are going to absolutely love Vidbeer, and hopefully if Katia Chili comes back again with another song about a uterus, then I am 100% going to be on board. Anyway, the next one we are doing is the most culturally representative. So, you know, there's a lot of sort of debate about what that could mean, but, you know, the most song that you could easily tell was from that country. And the song that has managed to win that out of everything is Russian Woman by Manisha, who now will be representing Russia at Eurovision. I mean, given the fact that we hardly ever hear Russian in Eurovision, and the fact that it has such strong sort of feminist ideals, kind of completely going against the grain for what Russia usually is, I'm not surprised that this did end up winning. I think it's a really strong entry, and it's my number one. What can I say? I mean, I just really love the song, and I'm really hoping that she actually manages to qualify, because it's looking like it could be a borderline, and I'm a bit about it.
I think the only thing I want to say about Russian Woman is that I was so excited to finish it in depth review stuff, so I can finally move it up in my top. I've been wanting to do it for a couple of weeks, but I've not been able to do it because it'll mess up my placement. So next week I can move it up, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, I knew this song would grow on me. It's absolutely grown on me. I today have been running errands around my local town, and I've just been having it blasting in my head. And I'm going down this like Yorkshire High Street going like, every Russian woman needs to know, strong enough, you're gonna break the wall. I'm just living my best life. And just a sort of a fun fact about the song that I think adds to the sort of cultural representativeness of it. From what I have heard, in Manisha's sort of outfit for performing at Eurovision, she's going to be wearing a sort of coat or jacket that incorporates traditional fabric from all of the regions of Russia. And I just think that's really cool. I just think that's such a fantastic way of representing that sort of feminine power, because obviously fabric making and clothes making is an incredibly traditionally feminine craft. And I think that is just so cool. And so I really, really hope we get to see that a little bit more when she performs and absolutely makes it to the final. I am going to yeet myself if she does not.
Well, I had no idea that that was actually the plan for her to have the coat made of every ethnic group or every region in Russia. I think that's... if that's not a reason to win the most culturally representative award, then I don't know what is, guys. I don't know.